Praise the Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Just thinking this throughout the day today, you know, sometimes I appreciate being disappointed in this life because it makes me realize I don't want to be here no more. I'm not made for this. I'm made to go somewhere else. I'm one of them. I'm not a citizen of this place, you know. And sometimes we get a little comfortable and the disappointment comes, brother, sister. If you just remember, all it is the Lord trying to get you to recognize, you know, He's got something better for us. Amen. And it'll be here sooner than we can imagine. So praise the Lord. He abides, don't He? Amen. Amen. I appreciate Dad leading the songs tonight. That was beautiful. It's good to have our brother Josiah here and his fiance Ashley, Sister Ashley, and all the rest of you normal folk. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, there's no chief if there ain't no Indians. So you're just an Indian at that point. So I appreciate people that love the Lord and come to hear His Word. And I pray that's why you're here tonight.
Yes.
You know, we didn't come just to fulfill a seat and be in four walls. And I hope you know I don't believe in that. I believe in coming to receive from the Spirit of God. And God has orchestrated these gifts to speak to us. So let's believe that with all of our hearts. We're going to invite our brother. Oh, wait. Announcement. Saturday, 6 o'clock. All right. Pastor, remember the one time Brother Stewart was here and I got sitting about 5:50 and looked at the clock and said, oh, we got plenty of time. You know? Oh, service starts in 10 minutes. We're in trouble. Well, I'm not going to do that again. So we'll be here at 6 this Saturday and once we'll take communion. God bless you. We'll have that service then. I'll be preaching for that. So it's by faith. Brother Josiah can come out on this. Let's just invite the Lord now. It's by faith with all your heart that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. Oh, we praise your name tonight, Lord. It's by faith, and we believe you, Lord, that I believe.
It's by faith
that
I receive.
It's by faith
I'm overcome.
It's
by faith I'll see the sun.
Amen. How many believe they'll see the sun tonight? Not just someday, but I believe we have a promise that we can see the sun as we look in the Word tonight. Amen. I believe that we have a never presence of the Lord Jesus Christ just wherever we go. Why don't we just start off with a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, just trying to set aside all nervousness, Lord. Father, trying to set aside the cares of the day, dear Lord. I pray that you would be with us here tonight, Lord. Father, I know that you're with us, Lord. But Father, what my prayer would be, Lord, is that you would help us to see you amongst us, Lord, and raise our faith to a level that we could hear your word and know that it's coming from your heart to ours, Lord. Because if a man speaks it, it has no weight. But if a God in the man speaks, Lord, it can still have no weight if we don't recognize what that is that's speaking. But Lord, I pray that you would not only speak through the man tonight, but Lord, that the hearer could recognize that it's you speaking, Lord. And recognize that it's not you just you speaking to a people, but it's you speaking to them as a person, Lord. May you make your word personal to each believer here tonight, Lord. If there would be one that doesn't feel like a believer tonight, Lord, I just pray that you'd open their eyes to the position they have with you, Father, or could have if they don't have that already. We just welcome you here, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that you've already welcomed us into your presence. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Praise the Lord. It certainly is good to be back amongst the saints here. I think it's been about, I think it's about 6 months or so since we were last with you back in October of last year. A lot's happened since then, and about 3 months in the saddle, or 3 months since I've last been in the saddle. I don't know if Andrew announced or not, but I've been pretty busy these last 6 months, courting a precious lady. And the reason I haven't been in the saddle for the last 3 months, I've been busy getting and planning for a wedding, and so we're very much looking forward to that. I certainly have a new perspective on the sermon, choosing of a bride. And just really how much weight you have to put in that kind of decision. And I believe the Lord's helped me to make a very fine one.
Hallelujah.
So we praise the Lord for that. And our hearts are so happy at this season of our lives. And Ash and I both, we are just really enjoying the Lord's blessings to us. And we would appreciate your prayers as we just continue into that. And we were just reflecting on, while I was driving here, I called her up and I asked her, when was the first time that we first met? Because we actually first met here at this church. And we calculated back the days and found out that it's been about 1 year and 2 days to the day that we met here at Truth Tabernacle in Defiance. So we certainly feel that you all play a very small part in our lives and our story. We pray that the Lord could just use us to... Why don't we just go ahead and turn to Numbers chapter 21, if you would. Say amen when you've got it. It's Numbers chapter 21, and let's start at verse 5 there, in the 21st chapter. And we'll turn over to one other verse, and we'll be done with our reading. Verse 5 here, and it says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses." Notice they didn't just speak against Moses, but they spoke against God when they spoke against Moses. "And they said, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among people of Israel died. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because they didn't believe anymore in the promise that God had brought them out of Egypt for a purpose, and he was going to take them into a land of promise. They found themselves in betwixt two worlds, and during that time of waiting, their faith failed. And therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Isn't it amazing that once the judgment comes, people can begin to recognize that, oh, we didn't just speak against a man here. We spoke against someone higher than a man. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said unto him, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass, every one that is bitten, when he look upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, that man lived. Amen. If you'll turn over with me to one final verse here, Genesis chapter 3. I'd like to take another serpent event, if we can call it that tonight. Genesis 3 and verse 11. And you all know the story very well here. This is in the aftermath of what happened when Eve succumbed to the serpent's suggestions and partook of that tree. And God finds them in the garden, and they have become aware of their nakedness, not because of an apple, but because we know exactly what it was. He says, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word as you're seated. First thing I'd like to say to the Church of the Living God this evening is I'm so glad we don't have to believe in fairy tales. I'm so glad that we don't have to look back in the scripture here and that there's an Eve pulling a tree or an apple or a pomegranate or something off the branches and eating it and being cursed because of it. Oh my, it sounds like a Santa's fairy tale, doesn't it? Sounds like something that parents tell their little children, their little daughter and their little son when they're 3 and 4 years old. And then later on, oh, you know what, that wasn't true after all. But this is the one fairy tale that people continue to believe even after they let go of Santa and let go of everything else.
Yes,
they,
that's
for
right.
some reason, believe this misconception of the Bible. But yes. we know what it is, don't we?
Yes.
We don't have to believe in a fairy tale. Thank God for someone that came along, was of the Lord and sent of the Spirit of God to
yes.
reveal to us that this book is not a book of fairy tales.
That's right.
This is not a has-been book. This is not a book that used to be, but this is a book that's real and living to us today.
Amen.
And it's not bound by stories, bound by imaginations, but it's a real thing, that there
yes,
was
sir.
A God who walked through the Garden of Eden. And he called out, Adam, Adam, where art thou?
Yes, sir.
And there was a man that was cursed, and his changed, and you look at it here, and it says that the man, he says unto the woman first, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And so because of the woman's sin, her state changes.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And now it says to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And he goes on and explains to him, you're going to work and sweat from now on. This man who had great power in the garden, this man that could just say to the trees, move over this way, wind, blow this direction, wind, just go a little bit softer for me. All of a sudden, his state was changed. But what does he say to the serpent? All he says to the serpent is, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and the beast, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt eat dust all the days of thy life. Well, if it was just a serpent in the tree, then there was no state change for that
yeah,
serpent.
Exactly.
That's true.
That's right.
It means that he laid upon his belly to begin with, and he laid upon his belly. Doesn't seem like much of a punishment to him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Thank God that we can look back and see that there was a state change. This
yeah.
was an upright being. This was a being that was like a man,
yes.
close enough to be that tree that we're talking about. And mix his seed with a woman's seed.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad tonight that we have a promise that says, I will one day put enmity between thee and the woman, and it shall be that thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head.
Yeah.
Seed of the woman.
Amen. That's right.
No, I always used to think that that was just the seed of the woman that was going to come forth in the manner of Christ. And I'm so glad that we have that promise here. I'm so glad that we see that God's children here are dealing with serpents, and we turn over to Numbers there, and we see that they're still dealing with serpents. It seems like it's something that's not going away. God's people continually are dealing with serpents.
Yes, that's right.
But I'm so glad that a promise came down the pipe, that there was going to be seed of the woman that would crush that seed of the serpent,
yes,
that would crush his head.
Praise you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And we know who that was fulfilled, and that was fulfilled in Christ.
Right.
As he came forth from Mary.
Hallelujah.
But we don't end it there,
no.
see.
Come on.
Look here, and Paul goes on, and we find out there was a man on the island named Paul, and he still had serpents attacking him.
That's right.
Even after Christ came and bruised the head of that serpent. But something had changed at this point. There was something. He no longer had to look away to a brazen serpent as a type of Christ. But now he had the indwelling spirit of that seed. He had the very seed of God within him. And when that seed struck, when that serpent struck that one that carried that seed, all he had to do, what did he do, brother? Shook it off right into the flames.
That's right.
Because now he had power over the serpent.
Yes, that's right.
Because now it wasn't just Jesus Christ being the seed of the woman, but now that seed of God dwelled in him. The scripture said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for the seed of God remaineth in him. So that means that Paul now was the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3, that his seed would bruise the head of that serpent. When we go down, we can follow the trail of the serpent all the way down to the book of Revelations, and it says that that old serpent, the devil and Satan, was thrown into the fiery furnace.
That's right.
And so we know that from this time forward, all the way into the end, when that serpent is going to be thrown in the fiery furnace, we're going to have serpents here with us, aren't we?
Come on now. Sure.
We're going to have serpents that continually attack our lives. But there's something different now. There's been a game changer that's been introduced. If you can say that I've received the Holy Spirit, if you can see that I've received the indwelling presence of God in my life, you can rest confident tonight that you have power over that serpent.
Amen. That's right.
But what is that serpent today? That's my question for you. What is that serpent in your life? Would you consider that tonight? What serpent do you need to exercise power over? Because, see, this is not just arbitrary theology. This is something that has to be applied to your life. That I've got power over a serpent. It doesn't do anything to stop right there. But what is the name of your serpent? Do you realize the reason why we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is because names have power. If we just baptize in titles, there's no power to that title. But when we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the power of a promise behind it.
Yes, sir.
And when you know the name of your serpent, you can address it by name, and you can have power with it, because already you have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now if you put the name of that one who came before you over top of the name of your serpent, you have complete power over that serpent. Brother Branham had a vision about this. He said, speaking of this vision, he says, when I come into the vision again, it seemed I was lifted up and setting on a highway, a narrow highway with some brother. Isn't that where you want to be tonight? You want to be on a narrow highway, don't you? He says, and I never knew who the brother was. I looked around and I said, now I am sure this is the vision. This is a vision. The Lord God is here. How many can say, I believe that I'm living in a place where the Lord God is here? He says, it seemed like everybody was so afraid. And I said, what's everybody so afraid of? I think that's a good question to ask ourselves when we know that the Lord God is here.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Or is it because we're afraid because we are saying with our lips that the Lord God is here, but there's something that hasn't registered yet in our heart? He says, a voice came and said, there's such danger in these days. And there's a great hideous thing that's death when it strikes you. He said, I heard the weeds mashing down, and I looked, and here come a huge monster snake crawling through the weeds. And he says this, now knowing this is a vision, then I shall see what this is, this animal or what this beast is. And he says, he crawled on the highway, and as soon as I got sight of him, I knew it was a mamba. And he explained what the mamba snake is. He says the mamba snake is one that's from Africa. And he says, which is the most deadliest bite of all that there is. There's nothing as poisonous as a mamba. And he says, of course, the snake, it represents sin and death. And the mamba, he's death. He's just so fast, you can't see him. He goes over the top of the weeds and propels himself with the back of his tail. Hits you in the face, usually. Stands up high and strikes hard. And when he hits you, you've just got a few breaths till you're finished. And don't only paralyze and get in the bloodstream, it gets nerves, everything, and you die in just a few seconds. I thought I'd find out what this mamba was. I thought I'd go and find out from YouTube and the internets just what exactly is a mamba. And I go and I find out that the mamba is a snake that's about 9 foot long. And it has the unique ability among snakes that it can propel up to 2/3 of its body length and stand up on its haunches almost like a man. 6 feet tall, standing on its haunches like a man. Remind you of anything, brother?
Right.
And Brother Branham says he stands up high and he strikes hard, usually in the face. And that's exactly what a mamba does. When he's ready to strike someone, he stands up on his haunches like, and strikes right in the center of a person's reasoning.
Yep. There you go.
And Brother Branham says right here that the snake, of course, it represents sin and death. And what is sin, friends? What is sin? It's unbelief. And that's exactly where that snake struck Eve. Stood up high like a man, and he struck hard in her reasoning. And says, if you'll just do it this way, if you'll just compromise this way, if you'll just reason, the scripture doesn't really mean it just that way. It only means it in this particular case, in this particular incident. But we know that what's written here, if you let the Spirit guide you, it'll ring true every single time. See, that's why we need the Spirit of truth, friends.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And a humble heart that comes before the Lord and says, Lord, my mind isn't enough to understand these scriptures.
Lord.
And my will is counter to your will, O God.
Yes.
But Lord, I'm going to come and place myself before this image. This image of the Word. Man can come and place themselves before a monkey. And they can come and take the form of a monkey. But a man that will humble himself not before the image of a monkey, but in the image of this Word, he'll find taking on the characteristics of this Word. And that's why we need the Spirit, friends, is because with that Spirit, it'll lead us and guide us into all righteousness.
Right.
That's our promise. And we might say, I'm being turned this way or I'm being turned this way by my reasoning. But Lord, let your Holy Spirit come and direct it. Let me humble myself to that still small voice. Let me tune out every other channel and just believe that one voice that I'm listening to.
Yes, Lord.
And every time that arrow will hit target. But the enemy comes along and with the hiss of a serpent subtly tries to misdirect that arrow, try to make it go one way or another. We think it's so small, so innocuous, but really what it is, it's this unbelieving serpent that's trying to strike you in your face. And at first it just seems like a little strike, but give it just a couple seconds. And before you know, it's not just a puncture in your skin, but which was awfully uncomfortable. That first little sip of sin, oh, it tastes, it hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
It hurts a lot. Your conscience is scarred by it. But if you don't do anything, if you don't find some healing, if you don't find a healing stone, then there's going to be consequences to that venom that's now been injected into your life.
Right,
it doesn't stop at a puncture wound. It starts going to your mind.
Come on now.
That's the other fun thing I found out about this mamba snake. There's three types of venom. His type of venom is called a neurotoxin. And that neurotoxin goes in the body and it shuts down the brain, shuts down the mental system, the nervous faculties, and everything is attacked. What is it being attacked? Your reasoning.
Yep, that's it.
And once that reasoning is failed, there's nothing left, friend.
Right, sir.
And so now we understand why everyone was so afraid. It's because there was this mamba snake that was released. And it seemed like no one had any power over it. No one had any way to stop this mamba snake. And they knew that if they had at least good enough sense to know that if it struck them, they were in trouble.
Yes, sir.
It's a better sense than some people have.
That's right. Come on now.
He says, and here he was on the highway, and I thought, well, this is it. Thought it was over for him too.
Yeah.
He says, and I looked at him, and he looked angry at me. He licked his tongue, and here he come.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a snake flying at you just like that? Oh my. When he got right close to me, he would run up fast, and he would get slower and slower, and just come to a quiver and stop.
Hallelujah.
Oh my.
Amen.
And then something would hold him off, and he just couldn't bite me, Brother James.
Right. Thank the Lord.
He says he'd run around on the other side, and he'd probably try to approach from this other side over here, try to get at the prophet this way, and the same thing would happen. He just seemed to get so frustrated. You read it in the vision. He gets so frustrated, he backs off, and he tries again from another direction. And finally, it comes to realization that he could not strike me. He could not strike William Branham. He could not strike the prophet. He could not strike this fulfillment of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. He could not strike this man of God. But my question is, why? Could he not strike him because he was a prophet? Oh no. We have plenty of examples of prophets that were eaten by lions and all sorts of other things because of things that they did wrong. Balaam was a prophet. Look where he ended up. Because Balaam had a will that carried him outside of God's will. But this prophet could not be stricken by the serpent because he was so hidden in Christ that serpent could not get to him.
That's
He said he would come up hard from this other direction, He would just come up and try so hard with those angry eyes trying to take the very life out of him. Oh, my friends, have you ever felt that? Some reasoning, some demonic power comes to you in your low times, in your valleys. Oh, you thought you were on a mountain, and the next day it seems like you're in a valley again. And right there, that snake is there with those angry eyes and the darkness, almost like glowing eyes. There's only one thing that you can see is two glowing eyes of a demonic snake trying to get at your mind, trying to inject its neurotoxins. And you're saying, where is God in this darkness? Where is God in this valley?
Sure.
Oh, my, but if there's thing that I could get across to you tonight is if you hide yourself in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you can see him. It doesn't matter if you're in a valley or in a mountaintop. It doesn't matter if you can even feel him with your hand. But if you know one thing, I know that my Redeemer lives. And it's there that I'm going to rest my life.
Amen.
Then I can assure you, friends, that snake cannot get you.
That's right.
But as soon as you step outside of that cocoon of the Word, as soon as you step aside and meet Satan, on his own grounds. Satan, on the grounds that Eve met.
Right.
The grounds of reasoning.
Yes.
The grounds that say, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm not a believer.
Brother.
Maybe I haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe this experience that they're talking about is just psychological after all. Or it's not for me.
Person.
Or I'm not a son of God.
True, brother.
I'm not predestinated. The rest of them might be able to do it, but I can't. What is that? That's not only depression. That's a demon of unbelief trying to come into your life. You've got to recognize it by the right name. It's not just oppression or depression that you treat with a medicine, but it's a demon of unbelief that's coming to you and trying to pull away your strength by injecting its venom into you.
That's it.
Don't believe a demon that says anything contrary to this word of God.
Amen.
Anything contrary, but that you're accepted amongst the beloved. That you're the purchased possession of Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank the Lord.
That's true.
Amen.
Oh, my friends.
Blessed be his name.
He purchased you with his word.
Yes.
I wonder how many can go back and remember the time, I can, when you went and you paid the money down for that ring and you bought that engagement ring for your sweetheart men. And you paid the money down because you knew that she was worth it.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
And then she received that ring and how valuable and treasured it made her feel. Because
sure.
She was worth something. Someone told her that she was worth it. Now, wouldn't it be the coolest thing for that bride to go back and say, well, maybe this very expensive ring that's on my finger, maybe he just meant that in passing. Maybe he didn't really mean it after all. No, friends.
Come on, brother.
God spent something much greater than a diamond ring on you and I. He bought us with a price that no man can pay. He bought us with a price of his own blood. He came down from glory in the heavenlies, surrounded by angels worshiping him. Angels that wouldn't even stand in his presence. They covered over their feet with their wings. They covered over their face. They flew with the other two. And they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He came down from that presence. He came down from that atmosphere and made himself earth for you and I.
Amen.
I might remind you of that. If you've been hearkening to the hiss of a serpent, let this word become personal to you tonight. He did it for you,
Amen.
And he did it for me.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
He came down and he came down to let men spit upon them.
Amen.
From a time when he was surrounded by seraphim saying, holy, holy, holy. And now crude, filthy soldiers, homosexuals, and all sorts of other things that happened there and that Roman military as it's well. And all sorts of things that wouldn't even be proper to say. Them spitting upon him. God of creation. And what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I wonder if that could sink into you tonight. He said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive him. Forgive her, because she knows not what she does. If he could say that of some old dirty soldiers, then surely he said it over you. But friend, what is the difference between the soldier and yourself tonight? The difference, this token has to be accepted as a free gift.
Yes, that's right.
And the soldiers did not accept it. But if you've accepted the token,
Yes, Lord, come on.
Amen.
Then you're just as much bound, I say more than bound, for a marriage supper.
Yes, sir.
As Ashley is bound for a marriage supper with me soon. I hope you can let that just sink in.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Because that's what this enemy tries to come. He tries to come and strike at us and cause us to step outside of Christ.
Sure.
But then if we're inside of Christ, there ought to be a fruit to our lives.
Yes, sir, that's right.
There ought to be something that we can see and point to know that we're not struck by that. Know that we're living beings created in the image of God. I think about Brother Branham, and here he's dealing with a snake that's got the venom of unbelief.
Sure.
But this man could stand there and say the same thing that Christ said. He could stand there and say, who can accuse me of sin? Or who can accuse me of unbelief? Have I not fulfilled all the word that was spoken of me?
Amen.
Have I not fulfilled Malachi 4:5, that
yes,
there would be one that would come and restore the hearts of the people back to the hearts of the fathers?
Amen.
Have I not fulfilled Mark chapter 16 that these signs shall follow
That's
me
right. yes,
and anyone
yes.
else who believes? That
yes,
I'll
sir.
Be able to cast out the devils. That I'll be able to raise up the dead. Oh, my friends, this man fulfilled it.
Yes, sir.
He fulfilled the scripture that says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, you are retained. When you had those two lovers slopping up there on
That's
the front
right.
row,
preacher, brother.
And the Spirit of the
yes,
Lord
sir.
Came down and said, they're in your hands.
That's right.
Doing something that they ought not to have done. Things that aren't becoming a church sanctuary or even a park, much less.
Yes, sir.
But he had the power right there to speak life or speak death.
Amen.
And what did he do? He remitted those sins.
Amen.
But another occasion came when a man came over here with tuberculosis written on his card.
That's right.
And he had been scheming with these others the night before, saying that we're going to put tuberculosis on the card. Have tuberculosis. We're going to show them that this is all a fraud. We're going to show them that he's just reading minds and reading these card tricks. And he's going to tell them that I have tuberculosis. And he came across the pulpit that night, and the prophet stepped back and he says, go on. There's nothing wrong with you. And the man, you know the story well, sits back and says, no, look at my card, look at my card. He says, I don't care what's on your card. See, it wasn't a mind trick. It wasn't a card trick that these people were being healed by. He wasn't reading people's minds or doing some sort of Houdini routine. No, friends. You can't explain it away like that to me.
That's right. Amen.
But the man came through and he said, go on. You're well. And he says, I see what you're trying to do now. And Brother Branham sits back and he says, kind of confused. He's like, what's going on? And then the Lord revealed the situation to him.
That's right.
And he was able to go back to that card table that the two or three were talking about the night before. And call out their conversation, tell them what was the secret of their heart, saying, what you've written on the card, you now have.
That's right.
Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained.
Yes, sir.
He fulfilled the scripture, friends.
Amen.
He fulfilled the scripture, you speak to this mountain, and it shall be done whatsoever you say.
That's right.
Yes. He spoke squirrels into existence.
Amen.
And I'm not so much concerned about squirrels today. Because, frankly, Brother James, if I spoke squirrels into existence, I don't care if they were right there. I couldn't hit them anyhow. I've been squirrel hunting. I didn't have any success. But I know that there's some mountains in my life that I want to see moved. I know that there's word here that is for my life and word that I need to fulfill. And so it's not just about trying to stay alive. It's not just trying to stay away from snakes. But there's a work that I'm supposed to be doing. There's something that I'm supposed to be staying well for. There's something that I'm supposed to be accomplishing.
That's right.
Amen. Right.
He says he turned and looked back at my friend. And away he went after my friend, the snake.
Oh my.
See, friend, now we're beginning to see what the purpose of the Christian is. The snake couldn't bite him, but he wasn't selfish with that. Watch.
That's it. Hallelujah.
He went away after my friend. And I see my friend in the air. Over him and over the snake again and again. He says, and the thing was striking at him. And I thought, oh, if it ever hits him, it'll be instant death.
Right.
He says, no wonder everyone's so afraid.
Because
when this thing hits you, it's instant death. And just striking hard at his friend. And I threw my hands up and I said, oh God, have mercy on my brother. I wonder if there would be someone that's hidden in Christ tonight that says, no, I don't feel like I have any serpents.
But there might be something that's calling out in your heart that's saying, oh God, have mercy on my brother. Have mercy on my sister. I've heard what she's going through. I heard what he's going through. Lord, I'm going to join my soul in here tonight. Lord, I'm going to say, oh God, have mercy upon them. Some serpent straying after life. Some serpent of unbelief. Some serpent of oppression.
Lord.
Some serpent of doubt.
Yes,
oh God, have mercy on them.
Right.
Oh Lord, I pray that you would come and visit your people tonight, oh Lord. I pray that your spirit would be free in this place, dear Father. May you break every barrier, oh God. May you break every barrier of unbelief, Father. Oh God, come and speak to these people, Lord. Grant it, Father.
Hallelujah.
Let the Spirit of God come down and speak to your heart tonight. Because there's people that are joining in. This minister is joining in just as hard as he knows how. To say, oh God, help this brother. Oh God, help this sister. Because I don't know your situation. I don't know what your level is. I don't know if you have a valley or a mountaintop experience right now. I don't know who's hidden in Christ or not. I have not eyes to see that. But there's one who's mindful of you. There's one who sees where you're at in life. There's one who says that that I see every sparrow that falls.
Yes.
Oh, and such a sweet refrain then. You're worth more than many sparrows. That was your Christ that said that. That was one that came down and redeemed you with his own blood that said that.
Amen.
You're worth more than many sparrows. And just when then the serpent turned to me when I said that and looked at me again, and a voice came from above me and said, you have been given power to bind him.
That's right. Glory
the worst or any.
Yes, sir.
Friends, I'm speaking to a people who are the fulfillment of the word of God that says there's coming forth a seed.
Amen.
That's going to bruise the head of this serpent.
Amen.
I'm speaking to a body of believers that have the very seed of God in them. The same seed that stretched forth his hands on Calvary and said, it is finished. That seed is now dwelling, and you can finish it if you just lift up your hands and say, oh God, I'm joining in now. Friends, you have a power that you know not of.
Amen.
And he said, God, what must I do? It's not just in raising of hands only, but there's got to be a heart that comes behind those hands.
Amen.
He said, there's one thing that you must do. You must be more sincere. So, well, God, forgive me for my insincerity.
Right.
And let me have sincerity.
Yes.
Friends, so often we get caught up with the things of this world.
Yes.
And it's not so much poison, but it's just time.
Yes. Right.
And it drains us of our sincerity.
It
drains us of our consciousness of God.
Amen.
I know I'm raising up my hands this evening, this night, saying, God, forgive me of my lack of sincerity.
Amen.
Lord, forgive me for my lack of what you're trying to do in this brother or this sister. What you might be trying to do in the life of this co-worker here. Maybe he's just starving and I don't even know it because I'm caught up in my own mind, in my own world, in my own place in life. And he's over here one cube over and he's crying out for something, but he doesn't know how to cry.
Right.
You know, they have that for mute people. For mute people that they have needs. But they don't know how to talk. And there's people out there that have needs, but they don't know how to say help people. They have needs, but they don't know how to say, they don't know how to approach it. But I'm so glad that there's a spirit within us that says, I'll lead you and I'll guide you. And if we'll submit ourselves to that spirit, we'll find our steps orchestrated the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord, that's right.
He says, well, God, forgive me for my insincerity and let me have sincerity. Such a simple prayer, really, isn't it? But he said it so simply, and he says, when I raised up my hands to him again, there was a great something come over me. Just lifted me up. Seemed like my whole body was charged with something.
That's it. Yes.
And then he looked at new eyes at that serpent. He said, I looked at the serpent, and he started towards me, and he couldn't do it yet. And I said, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you.
That's right.
And he says the serpent snaked up into an ampersand.
Yes, sir.
And just froze hard like that, like crystal or something. And the voice came and said to him, that ampersand means that you have been given the power to bind him and everything below him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And Brother Adam says, and he was the worst.
That's right.
So what does that mean, friends? That means that you have the power to bind the worst devil, a devil of unbelief.
Yes.
And once you
bind that serpent, once you bind that power in your life, everything else is subject to you.
Amen.
And that's the thing that the church is struggling the hardest with today.
Yes, that's right.
Is simply to believe the Word of God.
Yes. Amen.
But believe the Word of God, not just in theology, not just in a hierarchy, not just in a great broad if we can believe the Word of God as it comes personal to our lives.
Amen.
A Word of God that says, don't do it that way.
Yes.
Don't say it just like that.
Amen.
A Word of God that says, I have given you power over all things.
Yes, sir. Right.
It says, it came into that ampersand and it choked to death. And he says the brother was free.
Amen.
It says the brother was free, friends.
Amen.
Because why? Someone had been given the power to bind that serpent. I might speak to you men tonight, you men that have households and have families. You have the power in your household to bind that serpent.
Sure.
You can recognize something that's going wrong in your home and you can speak out against that thing.
Yes,
you can say, I bind that thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and if you're right with God, then watch it go to work.
Amen.
But friend, you have to be hidden in Jesus Christ first. You have to be able to say, like the prophet said, that snake could not bite me.
Right.
But if that snake is all busy after you and you're running after that snake, how are you going to help your brother? How are you going to help your sister?
Exactly.
How are you going to be the salvation of your family?
That's it, brother.
Young men, young women preparing for marriage, preparing for life. Think about these things. You've got a life to enter into. It's not just going to be yourself anymore. But you've got to consider others. You've got to be in such a place with God.
Right.
Not just for a family, but for a workplace or wherever you're at.
That's right.
That
sure.
You can have a power in other people's lives.
Amen.
Oh my. A power to be able to bind these serpents. And when that venom comes, I'd like to encourage folks tonight. Maybe you say, brother, I have no power. I've already been injected by lust. I've already been injected by pride. I already feel like my spirit's just lifted up and I can't hardly look at people the right way. I can't hardly even look at women the right way because I've been injected by this venom. I've been injected by some spirit of oppression, some spirit of negativity that's come into my life and I can't hardly think a positive thought anymore. I want to tell you tonight, friends, prayer is an antidote. If you've been injected by some kind of venom, there's nothing new underneath the sun. There's nothing new underneath the sun. There's no new venom that they've concocted that has power against the one that crushed the head of that serpent. But I can tell you there is an anti-venom. And there's something that I found out about anti-venoms when I went to studying for this sermon. I found out in order to develop an anti-venom, they go to the snake.
That's right.
They go to the source.
That's right.
And from that snake, they pull out the venom.
That's it. Yes, Lord.
And then they take that venom and they inject it into a lamb.
Come on now.
And that venom goes into the lamb. And then, once that venom's received, the lamb's blood begins to generate antibodies.
That's it. Hallelujah.
And as those antibodies are generated, pull the antibodies out. And now the lamb might be up here in the laboratory up in England, and the victim might not be 2,000 miles away here in Africa.
Come on.
But in order to get that antibody from the lamb to the victim in Africa, they maintain a cold chain. They diligently maintain a cold chain. And I can tell you, friends, that from the cross of Calvary, there's been a cold chain maintained throughout the seven church ages. And that blood of the Lamb is just as real today as it was when it first flowed at Calvary. You might be 2,000 years separated from it, but that blood of the Lamb, that antibodies are flowing just as real today. They haven't lost their power. They haven't lost their force. There's been no new venom that's come. There's been no venom of pride. There's been no venom of darkness or reasoning. There's been no new kind of man's thoughts, whether it be evolution or anything else, whether it be some kind of hypocrite coming up and saying this message is no longer true. There's no venom that's been able to be developed since the time of Calvary that can have a force against that antibody.
Yes, sir. That's right.
There's nothing. There's not the internet.
Amen.
There's not the business of life.
Right.
There's not the business of job. There's not the pressure of this world.
Right, brother,
oh, friends, this world is pressurized. But you're made to create, to be able to bear this pressure.
Amen.
You're made to be able to bear this pressure in this last age.
Sure.
Yes,
you know, when they run a race, who do they save the best for?
Yep.
They save the best for last.
That's right.
Amen.
And the best may not feel that he's the best when he's running across that finish line. He may feel like he's awful slow because he's awful tired. It's at the end of the race. And the race gets so hard. Because as you're crossing the finish line, you've got to give everything that you've got.
Amen.
But the thing of it is we've got more than enough.
Amen.
Friends, if you've been baptized into the Holy Spirit, you've got what it takes to overcome your serpent.
Yes, sir.
I might ask you that question tonight. What is the name of your serpent? And have you tackled the first serpent first?
That's it. Yes.
I remember an old story Brother Branham told. It was a story of a maniac that came through. And this maniac, he had gotten away from the prison ward and he had been known to beat up preachers and he loved to do it for some reason. Just the spirit that was in him.
Right.
And he had busted up some jaws and so on of some couple preachers that day as he was on escape. And he came to the meetings. Quite a few pounds heavier than the prophet. Prophet, just a little man, 120, 130 pounds usually. And he ran up to that platform and the police couldn't even hold him back. Comes up that platform, towers over the prophet, says, "I'm going to break every bone in your body."
That's right.
Prophet didn't know what to do, but he took a step back and he heard himself say that tonight you'll fall at my feet.
Right.
And he says that maniac, after he fell at his feet, all of a sudden, here was one jumping up from a wheelchair. Here was one jumping up from what they were bound with. One dropping off their crutches. One saying, "I'm healed of that cancer. It's no longer here." Why? Demonology goes back and he says that now the head demon had been crushed. And all the subject demons were now running in terror.
That's right. Yes.
Friend, if you could recognize that the head demon is unbelief. Unbelief has tried to get into this and tried to not so much even make you believe that this word isn't true, but maybe just that this word is not personal.
Yes, that's it.
Maybe just that this word is, you're not supposed to be the super Christian this word details. That somehow you're a second-rate Christian. You're not quite like the prophet. You can't quite fulfill all the scripture. You can't quite fulfill Mark chapter 16. You can't quite speak to your mountain and have it run away. But friends, I might remind you that in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God.
Yes.
And the Word was God.
Amen.
And the Word came and dwelt among us.
Hallelujah.
And why did He dwell among us? He came so that He might take us back with Him.
Amen. That's right.
So that we can go back to God together.
Hallelujah.
Because why? Because when we're baptized by one Spirit, we are baptized into one body. And that body is the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
the Word of God.
Amen.
That means you are not found on just one page of this Word.
Amen. That's right.
I imagine someone asking me sometime, "What's the most important verse in the Bible?" You can't answer that question. Because that would be like asking Brother James, "What's the most important feature on your body?" You can't answer that question. Because everything is important. It's a person. You can't isolate anything. And that's the same thing with this word. You can't isolate a verse. It's a person.
Yes.
And if you're a part of that person, you're a part of that word.
Right.
And I might say this, that we've been taught that when we read this Bible, if we can't see Jesus Christ in every line, that we've got to go back and read it again.
Right.
But I might say to you tonight,
Amen.
That if you don't find yourself in every word, keep looking.
Yes.
Keep looking. Because once you find Jesus Christ, you can't help but to find yourself. If you've found an identity with that Lamb, then you can't help but to find yourself when you're Him. But friends, what I've got to ask you tonight is, do you really believe that she is Him? Do you really believe that you are Jesus Christ? Oh, but I've got this in my life, and I've got that in my life, and I've got this. So what?
That's right.
I've got this serpent chasing me, and this serpent chasing me, and this serpent, and oh my. That's not who you are. That's not what you are. You're the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You've been baptized into His body by His Spirit. You have power over those things.
Amen.
I wonder what might have happened to that in the vision when he looked at that snake. Brother Branham said he was just jumping all over the place. But the prophet, what did he do? He stood there in the power and might of God. I wonder if that other brother had the same power.
That's it. Come on, brother.
I wonder if he had the same power, but he just didn't know how to use it.
That's it.
Yes. Come on.
Right.
If he was running so hard. You know, there were many times that I had trials and I just felt like I was going through a cycle. Down and up, down and up, down and up. Had to run from it. Had to put from it. Had to just try to train myself not to go those places.
Sure.
But I found that there's a resting place in Christ.
That's it. Yes, Lord.
I found that when I come to that resting place, that serpent really can't get to me more.
Amen. Right.
Friends, I don't know where you're at tonight.
Oh,
I don't know how many acrobatics you've done trying to get away from a demon of unbelief. But if you could just recognize for a moment that Jesus Christ,
yes,
has birthed his seed into your life.
Right. Yes.
And you've got to take an honest inventory. You've got to look back and say, have I really been born in the Spirit of God? When I look back over the course of my life, can I really change? Where there's something being formed in me, what I had. That I've come underneath that Acts 2:38 experience. I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're instructed by the apostles. I've repented of my sins. I've turned from my wicked ways. I've humbled myself before this image. I've placed myself there. And as I placed myself there, I found the power of another life coming back into me.
Amen.
The power of an indwelling Holy Spirit.
Sure. Right.
Friends, if you can say that, then I tell you that you have power over every serpent in your life. But if you cannot say that, I tell you, there's still an antidote.
Yes.
There's still an anti-venom that's maintained by a cold chain.
Hallelujah.
And I'm holding it in my possession tonight. If you'll just receive that antibody, I believe this word.
Amen.
Despite everything else, I just simply believe this word.
Amen.
Lord, I don't know if I'm being sincere enough, but Lord, help me to be sincere and grab a hold of this word with all of me. And be transformed thereby.
Yes, Lord.
And receive that Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you believe that, friends?
Amen.
Do you believe that it's really that simple?
Yes, sir.
That when a person just simply subjects themselves to the Word of God, there's nothing that can come between them and that Word.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to also say that it's effective for all serpents. That if you've dealt with the demon of unbelief, you've got to ask, am I whole? Am I really whole?
Yeah, that's it.
Am I in a place where I can have perfect peace and perfect rest with God?
Oh,
or can I still see oppression in my life?
That's
can I still see bouts of depression? Am I still taking medicine? Or am I anything against medicine, friends? It has its place.
Right.
But it's not the final solution.
That's it.
There is a final solution. There is a healing stone. There is one that's not able to just passivate our sin or passivate our illnesses, but he's able to completely do it with it.
Amen.
I was telling the folks back home, I get so tired of this mamsy-pamsy Christianity.
Yeah, preach it,
a mamsy-pamsy Christianity that says, oh, thank God for the blood. Thank God for a God that came and saved us and helped us be better people. Thank God that when we fall down, we can get back up. Oh, that song that says a sinner is just a saint that falls down and when and he gets back up again. Anybody ever hear it? Sinner's just a saint who falls down and gets back up. Oh, it sounds awful good, doesn't it? It sounds real feel good. But that's not what a saint is.
That's right.
A saint has received the anti-venom of God's blood.
That's right.
He is endued with power on high through the Holy Spirit. And he's not just a sinner that falls down and gets back up, but he's a transformed being, no longer identified as a sinner, but he's identified with the Lamb, the sinless, perfect Lamb of God. You might have once been a sinner, but now when he said you, he doesn't see a sinner. He doesn't call you a sinner. He calls you my son. because when he looked at you, he sees Jesus Christ. And now having that confidence, I can step out and say, knowing that God sees me that way, that I can have a confidence to speak to this serpent. Because what is he amongst men that he can say anything else to me but what God, his creator, says? Oh, serpent, you were created by my God. And that God sees me differently than he than what you see me as. And I'll speak to you this night. What is it? Speaking to your mountain, speaking to your storm, speaking to your serpent. Take my name tonight, friends. I can't call his name for you. I don't have that power. But you have that power. You have a power to call your serpent's name and say, I'm going to speak to you, serpent of lying. I'm going to speak to you, serpent of backbiting. So, oh my, there's one that we could go on for a while. A backbiting spirit. You know, there's other kinds of venom that comes into a human body. And there's a venom that's not just a neurotoxin, but they call it a cytotoxin. And this cytotoxin is injected into the human body and it causes the body to rot. Flesh just begins to fall out. And with the person just doesn't hardly have a chance. Friends, that's sometimes what happens. Somebody comes along and injects you with venom, some kind of backbiting. And I want to tell you that if you're the one doing the backbiting, if you're the one speaking behind your brother's back and saying, oh, well, bless his heart, but, well, bless her heart, but you know, she really doesn't cook the greatest meals. I wish that she would have cooked something better at the potluck. And when she cooked something else, you'd say, well, that wasn't that good either. She really should have cooked this over here. And she, I don't know what her husband at home says, but I'm not saying they're not Christians or anything, but you're tearing down their reputation. You're injecting some venom in there. You're causing some discord amongst the brethren. You know, if he would just work harder and if he would just take care of his family, I think he'd be... Who told you you had the authority to say stuff like that? Who made you the accuser of the brethren? Who are you identifying yourself with? Ask yourself that question tonight. Who are you identified with, the accuser of the brethren or the one that said, Father, forgive them? For they know not what they do. Sure. That looked at Job and said that he's a perfect man.
That's right. Amen.
And yet being unredeemed.
That's right.
Oh my. Who are you identified with? What do you carry? When you open your mouth, is it a serpent sticking its head out through your mouth, licking its tongue? Are you a carrier? When you speak, do you spew out venom like a pit viper? Or when you speak, is it words of gentleness and sweetness?
Sure.
Do you speak the anti-venom?
That's it, brother.
Which are you a carrier of? Friends, you can choose which you'll be a carrier of tonight. If you've been guilty of backbiting, you've been guilty of harboring a murderous spirit in its infancy.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Because it's written that when you backbite your brother, it's like sticking a knife into them.
Right.
That you're a murderer.
Right.
Not that you actually did that thing, but you've got the spirit of it on you.
Right.
See, we've got to call them by their right names. It's not backbiting. It's a murderous spirit.
That's it. Exactly.
And it's not just a little bit of playing around on the internet. It's an adulterous spirit.
Right.
You're living underneath the spirit of an adultery.
Amen.
Or fornication, depending on your marital state. Either one leads to destruction of your own body.
Sure.
You think that, oh no, it doesn't destroy my body, only if I join myself physically to it. Oh no. They've done studies, they've looked over the brain, and the brain's actually mutated underneath the power of pornography.
Yes, sir.
Friends, this is too dark of an age not to start calling things by their names.
Amen.
This is too dark of an age not to deal with things clearly and not in the shadows.
Yes, sir.
See, friends, this world wants to keep everything in the shadow, and they want to another name underneath it. They want to say, oh, well, they're not perverts. They're transgendered. They're not confused people in need of help. They're just a man living in a woman's body or a woman living in a man's body. They covered over in shadows, but we're not children of the shadows.
Amen.
We're not children of 50 shades of gray.
Yeah.
We're children of the light.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting? The world comes out and follows after a sick, perverted book and calls it 50 Shades of Grey, because that's where they want to live.
Exactly right.
But friend,
yep.
you and I are called to light.
Yep. That's right.
To walk in the light even as He's in the light.
Amen.
So don't be afraid when a minister comes and starts calling things by name.
That's right.
Because it's for your benefit.
Amen.
And because you're called to live in that light.
Sure.
Yes, sir. If you're a child of the light, then truth doesn't scare you.
That's right.
Oh, it might hurt a little bit. It
yes.
might hurt if you've been injected by
yes,
venom.
Jesus.
Sometimes healing takes is a hard road.
Right.
I was talking to a young man the other day about this transgendered issue, and we were talking about how people don't want to go through the path of recovery. It's like a man that comes and he gets in an accident, and he doesn't want to go through because he knows it's painful. He knows it's hard. He knows it's going to be real work. He knows that the way he is isn't the way he's supposed to be, but it's going to be hard to get to where he was once before. And instead of going through the hospital and the therapy and going through all the pain of rehabilitation, somebody knows it can be painful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He says,
right.
No, I want people to accept me for who I am. I want people to just accept this little part of me over here.
On,
if they can just give me another name,
yeah.
Oh my, give me another name whereby I can be called. And not call me by what I really am. I'm not challenged. I'm not disabled. I'm not crippled. I'm in an altered state of being.
Exactly.
You know, it sounds silly what the transgendered issue is. It's people that don't want to go through the hard road of recovery. And because of it, they've got people that don't want to help them. That's not real love when you come to a person and say, well, we'll just get you a wheelchair and you'll be fine. And we'll get you a wheelchair accessible bathroom. But the person could be fine.
Yeah.
With just a little bit of work, with just a little bit of pain, they could come to a road of recovery.
That's it, bro.
It wouldn't be love at all to give them a wheelchair when you know that they could be made well.
Right.
And same thing with transgender, but it's the same thing with someone here today that says, there's something in my life, but I just want to cover it over it. I just want to call it by another name. I just pretend it's not there. But friend, I'm telling you that you have the power to become well tonight.
Yes.
You don't have the power to become well just tomorrow or the next day, but now is the day of your salvation.
Amen.
You're saying, well, I don't believe that it can all happen in one night. I tell you it can happen in one night. I tell you that people have been delivered of alcohol in one night. People have been delivered of drugs in one night. And if they've been delivered of cigarettes and alcohol and everything else, then surely they can be delivered of something that's got a hold of them on the internet or something that's got a hold of them with medicine and depression and everything else.
Sure.
But friend, I'm not asking you whether you believe that you can be delivered in one night. I'm asking you if you're ready to start the journey. Are you willing to take that anti-venom into your body and say, I'm willing to start the journey to rehabilitation, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, the Bible said this, that since the time of John, that they've become to powerfully press into the kingdom.
That's right.
That they're beginning to take the kingdom by violence and by force.
That's right.
Are you willing to take the kingdom by violence and force? No matter what it takes to get to recovery, no matter what it takes to put these things behind me, no matter what it takes to be the kind of man that I'm supposed to be, no matter what it takes to become establishing a family altar. Oh, I've got my own complexes and I've got everything else. And when people look at me, when my family looks at me, I just don't even know if they really trust what I'm saying. I feel so inadequate. But are you willing to press into the kingdom, friends? Are you willing to push yourself in there and saying, whatever it takes, I may not be the kind of man that can lead my home now, but I know that I'm looking and I'm staring into a word that can transform
yes,
me.
Lord.
It's got a power to transform me, not from what I was, not from what I am, but into what He is and what He's declared me to be. Because this word declares who you are, friend.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm past the age of my prime. It's too late for me. Or I'm too young. These are all things that the enemy starts to throw out at you in times of division. When you've got to come down and make a real decision where rubber meets the road.
That's it.
Am I really going to come down and dedicate myself? I've tried so many other times. Why would this time be any different? Or friend, maybe you're still trying, but you've gotten to a weary place in the road. Can I just offer you a sip of cold water tonight?
Hallelujah, Jesus.
A sip of cold water. After Brother Branham had that vision, he had this next vision here. Drink on. a while with me. He says, the next morning I woke up. I was laying there. I said, I better get up and take the children to school. And I looked over and there was this hideous thing looking like it was alley-oop in the funny paper, great big horn sticking out of it. He was going to sound like a hen cackling or singing or coming like they come from the barn. I looked at it. Friends, these things are real.
Yes,
look
sir.
Over in Revelations. Look at that toad and everything else. Spirits have forms.
Sure, man.
If you could only see them. And he said, Mita, tapping his wife on. Wouldn't that be wonderful if your husband woke you up in the bed in the morning and look at this? And wife wants to wake up to you, right? Unfortunately, she didn't wake up. And he said, "Oh, that's good. That scared her to death." Honey had a better thought. He said, "So I just waited there a minute." And stand and watch. And notice, he doesn't have any fear here.
That's right.
He knows his position. Here's this ugly, vile thing over in a corner, a demonic spirit that's pushing itself into the third dimension where a man can see it. And he's just laying there. I'd get up and find a broom or something. I'll be honest. But he says, I was just laying there, just waited there just a minute, stood and watched. It says people talk about devils and don't even know what they are sometime. That's right. But you run into them headlong after a while every day. Maybe you will. And after a while, he said he was accusing me.
That's right. Yes, sir.
There's that accuser of the brethren.
Man.
Can already identify where this form is coming from. He said, you have no power with God. He says, you are just a bluff. You have no power. And I might. There's many times behind this pulpit that I hear that cackling hen.
Absolutely.
Not like he heard it here, but I hear that voice that says, you have no power. A man that's got to lead his family, you have no power. A woman that's a preacher to her children, the fifth gospel, right there after John, you have no power with these children. They're not minding you, they're not listening to you, but there's a promise. Train up a child in the way it shall go, and not depart from it when it gets old.
Right.
And so, he turns and he says, Satan, you're a offense to me. Get out of my name. Get out of my way in the name of Jesus Christ. And he left. And it was over. It was that simple.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He says, I laid there a little bit in bed and started to rise up. I felt a real sweet feeling coming over me. I thought, I wonder if the Holy Spirit is now close. And over in the corner, so help me, here's my Bible over my heart, he says, the sweetest voice I ever heard in my life. Said, don't fear anywhere, don't fear anything, don't fear to do anything, for the never-failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go.
Amen.
Friends, you had that same promise tonight.
Yes, Lord.
He said that I will come to you, I'll dwell with you, even in you. And I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Until when? Till tomorrow?
Nope.
Till next week when the bill comes due? Until you remember what the last valley was, you're on the mountaintop, but even when you're on the mountaintop, you can't enjoy it because you're afraid of the next valley. But he says, I'll be with you.
That's right.
Until the end of the age.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And friends, I won't say I'm just fool enough, but I'm just a believer of this Bible enough to believe that God is here right now.
Yes, Lord.
To believe that the same voice,
yes, Lord,
to the prophet is a voice that wants to speak to your heart. If only you can hear him tonight.
Sure.
He says, that settled it for me. Let them rage. I've got an absolute. My anchor holds out yonder.
Amen.
Because it's the word of a living God. Amen. Friend, I know we hear the air conditioner going and the lights are just the same lights they were yesterday. But this place is a place where the Spirit of God dwells.
Hallelujah.
Because there's a believing body that's here tonight.
That's it. Exactly.
And what you have to realize more is if you've received that Spirit, then you are a place where the living God dwells.
Amen.
And now recognizing that, I wonder if you could recognize that that name of Jesus Christ is over you. There's nothing that has power over your life. You can say that, how many this evening can say, I can see a serpent in my life now? If you would just stand with me, I believe the Lord's one to speak to His people. If you would bow your heads, the musician would perhaps play something softly. Friends, have you been spoken to tonight?
Yes.
Has something more than the words of a man spoken to your heart? Do you believe that? If you believe that the Lord God is here, I wonder if you would raise up your hand. Now, if you believe that He's speaking to you personally, I wonder if you would raise your other hand. Now, friends, testified that the living Lord Jesus Christ, who is up in heaven, who is covered and surrounded by seraphim, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb," the one who expressed His undying love to you and came to this world and was spit on by dirty thieves. He felt it with His heart to you. Now what is it? It's ask what you will. What's in your heart, friend? I'm not a discerner of that, but He is. Would you quietly bring that before the Lord tonight? If you'd like to come to this altar and bring your burden to the Lord, I believe He'll hear you tonight. He'll hear you from your seat. But sometimes it's more for that demon of doubt, because he's not a discerner of your heart. Satan doesn't know what's in your heart, but sometimes we just like to express to him as a physical witness, this is where I stand.
Yes, hallelujah.
Remember an old woman, the infantry, they were counting off the line of soldiers, and they came down to the very end, and there was an old washerwoman carrying her bucket and mop, I believe it was. And they said, "What are you doing here?" She says, "Well, I just want folks to know whose side I'm on."
Yes.
Friends, if you'd like the devil to know what side you're on, I wonder if you come up to this altar tonight and just bring your burdens to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I've been running from this serpent, but today I'm making a decision to face it. Today I'm not going to run any longer, but I'm going to turn around and stand on the Word of God. I'm going to call my serpent by name. Lord, we just come before You tonight, Lord. We pray that You would receive these that have brought their hearts before You tonight, Lord. Some have recognized perhaps that they've got a spirit of not backbiting, but a spirit of murder on them, Lord. They're calling it by name now. Not that they're a murderer, that's not who they are, Lord. But it's a spirit of murder. Lord, I wonder if that person will be able to just step away from that spirit. Like when we bring an accused before the great judge. Lord, You're that great judge tonight with white hair. We bring the accused before You and we don't stand there with him. We step away, Lord. Whatever the people's spirit is they've been dealing with, Lord, we don't identify ourselves with that tonight. Lord, we repent. I know I repent, Lord, for letting things in my life that I ought not to let there, Lord. Letting thoughts of negativity come and just, I should stand more strong, Lord. But what I really need to do is press You, Father. Lord, I believe that's what Your people here tonight want to do, is press into You, Lord. I pray that You can make them realize just how close You are. How personal You want to be tonight, Lord. That this doesn't have to be just another meeting, just another time of raising hands, but it can be an intimate meeting spot where they can go back years from now and say, "I met my Redeemer there, and He changed me yet again."
Thank You, Lord.
Grant it, Lord, tonight. like to be prayed for, we'll pray with you. Just as they sing something softly now. Just come before you from this young child tonight. Oh God, I pray that you'd have your will in his life, dear Father. There's something in him that wants to come, and Lord, maybe he doesn't fully understand, but Lord, you said, except we become as humble children, Lord. Oh God, may you cultivate that desire in his heart to
yes,
just meet Jesus. Bless him, Lord. Fill him with the Holy Spirit from a young age, yes. Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, just come before you, Father, this young boy standing in the gap, dear Father. I pray that you would heal his father's body, dear Lord. Oh God, I pray that you would heal his father's body, Lord, and bring that finger back, Lord. Oh God, may you cause a regrowth, dear Father. Oh Lord, may there be just a faith that would drop down, Lord. Give him the strength for this trial now, Father. And bring them through it to the other side in victory, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise tonight, let's praise him.
Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings.
Children, give him praise. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be.
Oh, believe it with all your heart. Lord, we believe you.
Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy.
I'll bless your name, Lord. You're faithful, Lord Jesus.
He is here.
Oh, hear his voice tonight.
Hear him calling out your name.
Jesus.
You can touch him. You will never be the same.
Yeah, keep playing that tonight. Oh, brother, sister, believe what we're singing. Does he mean everything to you? Oh, Lord Jesus. What a presence of God. Oh, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, children, he's heard your prayers. The Lord has delivered us tonight, brother, sister. Oh, run free. Johnny Crow, you ain't tied down no more. Give God praise. Give him without any condemnation. Say, Lord, I accepted that atonement. I watched the effects of the word on my life. I'm free to worship the Lord, saying, condemnation comes, it tries to knock you back down. You just praise right on out of that. Say, devil, I remember when I was yours. I remember what I used to do, and you know good and well I ain't that guy no more. So you might as well just go ahead and leave. You're dealing with something you don't want to mess with, Satan. Oh, hallelujah.
I will bless.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here tonight. You're the mighty conqueror. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that Holy Spirit, that's the power of God. Thank you, Lord. It lives in our hearts tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it one more time. When Dad gets around there, I want to do with no music. Let's all lift our voice to him now tonight.
Oh, he is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same.
If that's your testimony tonight, give him a hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
And worship. Thank you,
hallelujah,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'll never be the same. Glory to God.
Praise
to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise.
Whoa, thank you, Lord.
Lord, come on. We thank you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I appreciate you, Jesus.
Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise thy name, Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise
Hallelujah.
How many appreciate Brother Josiah coming tonight? The Lord sent him. God bless him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
What a word.
I love you, Lord Jesus.
What a word from the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Overcoming power, brother, sister. I thank him for it. I don't have a whole lot to add. It was just so good. I'm just rejoicing in the power of God. Really, that word is all we need.
Thank you,
God
Jesus.
God gave it to us. Thank he put you. The faith in our heart to believe it. And that settles it, brother, sister.
Amen.
Yep. Like the brother said, as long as that's all that's in the, everything else just falls away, it's over. It's over. I believe the word, Dale, you might as well go ahead and leave. It's done. So praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I'm healed. I'm saved. I'm delivered. And you watch the Lord. Amen. You watch the Lord respond on the other side.
Amen.
So praise God tonight. I don't want to keep you too much longer. I'm just rejoicing in the Spirit. Oh, don't you love him with everything that's in you?
Praise God.
Don't you just feel that burning on your heart? Like, Lord, just let me love you better than I have before.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, Master, whatever you'd have me to do, Lord, I just want to make you happy. And brother, sister, that's that real Christian desire. It's just, Lord, can I be well pleasing to you?
Hallelujah.
It'll make you love your neighbor. It'll make you love your enemy. That's right. It'll make you do things that no man could do in his own. So thank the Lord tonight. It is no secret what God can do. If you don't know it, 2:17. I just feel let Dad go ahead and take the service on this one. It was good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. How many loves him again? Oh, let's just worship him as we go tonight. Let me dismiss on this. Oh, just love him with all your heart, children. God bless you tonight.
For us.